This morning I'm turning to the Gospel of Mark chapter 4. And Mark chapter 4, we will look at the passage from 35 down to 41. And our subject is Jesus stealing of the storm. Jesus stealing of the storm, or as calming the storm, or whatever. Now, okay, eventually, in some panel, if you mark in some panel, 18, 35, 41. Now, I don't know, yeah, yes, you are, or my Pomframa, a brass here, or my Casa, my Putier, and also some like this, yes. Now, before we go on to this, the miracles which is recorded here, and you know that it's one of the many miracles of the Lord Jesus Christ, which he did when he was incarnated on earth. And this particular one shows his sovereignty over creation. The air can say, Yes, Christ, Mra, Obefani, Pesu, Obas, as he so no, Obeya, Awandi, Bebre, na. Where you move out, now where someone here, where you are, you know, a idea, extreme is more what to me, what about the so? The to me, what about the so? And the Bible tells us in Colossians 1:17 that it is by Him all things consist. Everything consists because of Him. The whole world, the orderly arrangement of the universe. Bible says, and I basically assume that we are similar when we be here, it's not said it's not. We are a coba, and so tall, and from our ball, we be here, no, or send the sunnage now. Or send the sunnage now. It's by Him that all things consist. That word is very, very important. Colossians 1:17. And so those who think that Jesus Christ is not God, I wonder who can make things in this world, the whole, look at it, not just our earth, the whole universe. To run on its course, who is not God? Who can do that? You see, it is by Him that all things consist. The orderly arrangement of the universe is by His decree, which He has what? Set over His creation. He has ordered it in a manner that it will never fail. As He told Noah, that so long as the earth endures, day and night, seasons will come and go. And has seasons of no, even where they are drought for some years, soon the normal times will come. Everywhere in the world, things are running as it is, especially that is on our earth where He has given man for man to live. So both living and unliving things are in their all order according to His own power. The air can say, Yes, Christo. Bible says, Onu na nam so bibia akosu obi asim. Mu na meka say, Say, enyoma ewo. And then you may name Quemiano, and I'm the soap in the apostle. No one named Rashama, a body in a ma apostle. You know that some people believe that, they disbelieve that God does not exist, and that they even believe that His government is over this world. Providentially, they don't believe that things happen in this world, and though men will do their own whatever, God's world stands. No, they don't believe it. They give it a chance. But then, it's an interesting thing for them to think that this world should be on its own without the Creator. But then, it's like somebody said, it's like believing that pain doesn't exist. Because those who claim that, well, they don't see God, and how can they give their trust in somebody they don't see and all that. So somebody said that, if it's like saying that pain is not there because you don't see pain. The American is a bit more so. We are some who say, well, we are seeing younger than Yaku could be any hope. And how are Nyoma Koso? We are saying about what you say, Yaku on a diet and your mama or no any purpose one. We must be Sergeant Nusino, we are Utia and Nyoma Koso, Tian Yana Koso. And I mean, no, because Yaku only who are, if you say, oh, no, and answer, oh, who knows to me who not said your end in your mind. No, or say, and it is a because a yaw soon, if you say yaw, you're fine, son, so yaw, you're fine, who yaw. Fine, we are the one in him say yaw. So it's a folly to think that way. But we know that As those who have been hurt know how pain is, those who have believed in the Lord know that he has it, because they sense it. Send your more idea, your mom will take you out. Sounds no more adjectives. I think I'm going to do so because able to say his love, his wisdom, and power demonstrated for them in this life and the hope of the life to come, and how the world is orderly arranged. So, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, he was manifested to give the glory of the invisible God. Yes, Christ to us. When you go for Obano, Obano now move. The good times of a day, and you go for any who knew you, young tree. Isn't it wonderful? God has given us evidences in nature. He has given us in the Bible, in the Old Testament. But then, to add more to it, he came by himself to take a human nature, to come and show how his character and his power, his wisdom is. So that Jesus Christ, when he was incarnated, his teachings, his character, his works and miracles demonstrated that he was God. And that when we put our confidence in him, we have put our confidence in God, for he was God incarnated. Say yes, Christ, to before the pursuit of fire, you know. The Juma here, obey here, this two, or to me, trans, and so why you born that? And then the one what you are here, on one you feel, on one to me, you know. A chance, on only young people are very ass. Ah, the area shed one, over to me at the adjunct. So, we know that all the miracles that Jesus Christ performed, he performed by his own power. If you read all the miracles, he just speaks, he just do whatever he wants to do, and it works. If you compare with all the prophets, like Moses himself, Elijah, they have to call on God to help them. They have to pray for God to be able to do whatever they did. Jesus Christ spoke, and it was done. It shows, I mean, who can say something that is done if he doesn't have the power in himself? You see? So the miracle he did was not just something that, because the others, as I said, Moses, and then prophet, Elijah, Moses, so his miracles were to show us that if we believe in him, he's able to save us and from our sins and keep us in this life, safe in his own arm, and also to bestow on us eternal life. In Titus 1, he tells us eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. God promised before, in his eternal plan, he has a promise that he will, when he creates man, as I always say, Adam and Eve did not have eternal life. The life Adam and Eve had was not eternal. It was temporal. It was a life that they could lose, or they could, God can confirm them to have eternal life. So when they lost it, but for us, if we come to Jesus Christ, he saves us, the life to come is eternal life. It's the life we'll have in Jesus Christ, is far better than what Adam had. Because when Christ saves us, we'll never lose that life. Even in this life, with our imperfection, God is able to keep us. And then to eternity, we'll live forever. They make an answer. Yes, Christo. You know what? Oh, yeah, 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 no. A chest over to me, I give you a bone. A chest over to me, I give you a bone. What's also up crying was I see so. In past, I see so by a brave one swaying, I mean, you know. About crying. In my direction, we are so for my damn one, but they are pushing. Now, Babo catches a young Yankupoa or share a or no one can throw and stand over. We are so grasped or the damn for the money pan. Only sign Yankupoa. This is the God that we are talking about. This is the God that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who came to manifest his character, his power, and wisdom in this world, and his miracles is one of those things. So, those people who think that Jesus Christ did miracles, so they're also doing miracles today, they just want to show God has power. It's nonsense. The miracles were not to just show that God has power. It is a demonstration of his ability to save us, so that we can trust him when we realize that we have sinned against God. We can go to him and he will forgive us, because no one can do that for us. I'm saying, but yes, they preserve. Now, who point is Christo? I want to do a year, or I'm fine, just never to me again. But it's say, yes, sir, or two of it to me at him. So he said, that was the purpose. It was for the purpose, not to show that he can just do miracles. No. So each one of them, when we read of it, should touch our heart that this is the God that has made the world. This is the God that has made us. And whatever he says, we can put our hope in him. And he will never disappoint us. So now I come to the passage itself. So verse 35, let's begin with verse 35. Okay, and at the same day, when the evening was come, he said unto them, let us go over unto the other side. The same day, in the verse 1, it was the evening of the same day that he began to teach at the seaside. He entered into a ship, and the people were standing there. He taught them, the verse 1 of the same chapter tells us. So the reference, the same day, when evening was come, so the same day he preached, and also he gave 20 parables. There we have them in the chapter. And he also gave the meaning to the disciples when they were alone with him. And he was on a place called the Sea of Galilee. And this Sea of Galilee is not actually the sea as we see. It's a fresh lake. It's a lake, but it's a very, very, very big lake. And they call it the Sea of Galilee. And by the location in the Bible, it was on the northeast of Israel, up there, above Judah. And he taught at this place, and then they were at one side of this lake. So the same day when evening was come, he told them, let us pass over onto the other side. So when his work was over for the day, he taught many, from early in the morning till evening. It's wonderful that he could teach and also instruct the people around him till the evening. So when his work was over, he told the disciples to go over with him. So they were on the eastern side to move to the western side. Because Mark chapter 5, the chapter 5 tells us the place they went was the country of the Gadarenes. And this place was on the western side of the lake, the Sea of Galilee. So they moved from the east side, they were to move from the east to the west side. So he directed them to depart. And also, Mark chapter 5 tells us he had a work there, that is why he wanted them to move there. Because chapter 5, 1 to 20, the account of that demon-possessed man, that he was coming from the tomb, he was. They said that when they chained him, he was able to break the chains and all that. See, so he had a work there. And also, the very miracle that we have was to happen. But to the disciples, they were not well. So see, he himself knew why he said they should go to the other side. But definitely also it was in the night so that they can go and rest or something like that. Because he himself, we saw along the line that he was sleeping in the vessel they were going with. So he had a work there, so he told them to move to the other side. So let us pass over onto the other side. Verse 36. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. So when he instructed the disciples to move, the crowd were already there. So they dispersed them, and then they embarked on the journey. And as we read, we knew the trouble that befell them. But then the disciples didn't know what was ahead of them. They didn't know what was going to happen on this journey from the east side to the west. But we know that the Lord knew, because He is God who knows everything. He's the God of creation. Besides that, He knows what is going to happen in the next hour or minute. So He knew it, but He didn't tell them. See? But then, one thing that, catches my attention on this particular thing about the disciples, He just tells them, let us move to the other side. And quickly, they dismiss the crowd and put the vessel, the boat, and the ships together, and they begin to sail. You know, sometimes people think of, I don't know how to say, like, when we look at the obedience of the disciples to Christ, that's how Christians have to be. Some people think that he was physically with them, that's what, no. Immediately he told them, let us go to the other side. They put the crowd away and put the ships at sea. No hesitation. It's not wonderful. Normally, when we read the Bible, when we take time and we think about the incidents and how the relationship, especially the disciples and Christ. Because we are Christians. If we are saved, if we are converted, if we are one of those who have repented of our sins and rested our hope in the Lord Jesus Christ, and what he did on the cross of Calvary, if he has changed our hearts, we have become Christians, if we are one of those, then whatever Christ, how Christ related to the disciples, how the disciples related to him, should be an example, should be our example. But most of the time we don't learn from that. Look at how swiftly they obey him. It's wonderful, but when you compare it to many of our obedience today, it's serious. They just obey. Look at Matthew, when Jesus ran for Matthew, he was sitting at the customs. Immediately after, Matthew left his work and followed him. Peter and John were mending their nets with their father in their boat. He called them, they left it and followed him. You see, it's wonderful. I mean, they are not different from us. They were human beings like us. You see? But how slow we are, how cold we are when we have to concern ourselves with the things of God, even if we are Christians. But this should tell us that if we are Christians, we have to act and try to improve, like this disciple who were willing. They didn't even wonder what was going to be, what they were going to face. They just wanted to obey the Lord's commands, and that was it. Even at a point in time, there was another time he told them to follow him to a place. Even when they said that their life were at risk, they obeyed him. That was the incident when he told them they should go, when Martha has come to have sent messengers to him that Lazarus was dead. And then he waited for some days and he told the disciples, let's go back to Bethany. And the disciples told him, because Bethany was closer to Judah and Jerusalem, and the Jewish leaders were looking for him to kill them. And the disciples told him, Master, why are you going there? They have prisoners sought to kill you. Why are you going there? Well, he told them that the day is over, for his time was not up. And then Thomas said, well, let's go with him and go and die with him. When I heard that, I said, well, let's go. Let us also go with him, that we may die with him. Look at how they love the Savior and how they were willing to obey him. If we are Christians, do we have that heart? Are we praying for that heart, that the Lord should help me, that whatever I see that the Lord tells me, whether for life, for his worship, his service, I just want to obey. That is the heart that the Christian is. And that is what we have to pray for. Because when I sometimes read the examples, it's really, I am so moved. Thomas said, let us also go, that we may die with him. It's not interesting. If he was going to die, we are his disciples, we will die with him. Sometimes we can't buy a bonam share, yes, Christian, yes, you have one more put on with your dear. Let's say, yes, Christian, or related, or no more, yes, no more, sending me to say, or can't someone from the America, a dear tree. Sad, yes, you are here. Now, or Cassandra, if I don't be my dear son. Or catch on so, other side, if no meet in America, so I no more. Lazarus, who here, Martha, Suma, do some conscience to say, Lazarus, with Umbra, now Umbra, or check a crown, or a crown, so almost uncle, or catches your for the young corner, Uncle Pierre Lazarus. Now, not a beer Lazarus, who we are from Bethany, a by Jerusalem, now Jerusalem, so a sophom penny for me, Jew for no, a penacum. It is your phone, sir. Sorry. I'm scared. I'm not sure. In Kitamudia, as you have only used to be in San or see and say, Christopher. Say, Yomua, used to acting and fear upon him. Just a fear upon him. Ah, you will walk, Calvary. Ah, or didn't Moja, a shim, we are the idea, shim. Me have small friend, my dear bonny, or the bonny, I tell my tear, me have been in Kofua.
That is when I said that again,
okay. Now, because Jesus Christ himself told us that if you continue my word, then are you my disciple indeed? How do I know I'm a true Christian? If I obey him without hesitation. If I'm willing to give myself his commands. It doesn't matter. Everything. Not some parts. Some people think, well, that portion of my life is for me. No. If I'm a believer, every part of my life is for him. He first. Me second. And my thing second. If believers were to live like this in this world, I'm sure Christianity will have a better name than what it has now. So verse 37. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. So on their way to the other side, we are told that a great storm arose on the lake, and the waves immersed the vessel with water. It was at the brink of sinking. I'm sure, and the disciples were helpless. And I'm sure that these disciples, most of them were fishermen, and you know, before any vessel or ship boat will sink, when the waters are coming, they begin to drive it out, they try to fetch it out. And I'm sure they did it for a long time. They struggled with it by themselves for a long time. And then as long as they realized that the storm was heavier than their own efforts. So they threw in the, as we say, the towel. And then they could not really help it. You see, in life, often, there are many things, there are many troubles. Sometimes there are troubles we think we can face, it's fine. But by and by, we face many troubles that we cannot really do anything about. But let's see what happens. Verse 38. And he was in the inner part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? This is the Lord Jesus Christ. All their struggle and their storms, he was asleep. Isn't that wonderful? And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep. You know, the ship will be moving up and down, and I'm sure you have, physically seen, we have watched some ships or boats being tossed about, on sea when there's great storm. And he was there, asleep. Well, the first thing that tells us, before we go on to think much about the verse, that Lord Jesus Christ, he was asleep because he was human. His human nature, he took human nature. Oh, so he had all the human infirmities except sin. Yes, Christ, no adapt. We say no over any pediano, any part to say any. And so here, woman is that one and any. And Maria said, a comedy and your brain also, sir. Bonnie pen and any. It's not wonderful. Bonnie pen and any. So he was asleep. He taught from morning to the evening. Naturally, every human being will get tired. Yes, Christ, yes, what that was a vote in him. If you say of a fine nipasu no a comdeno comdeno or bread or that if you say a sea order, if you say what shall the other part to memory, ni pay no more on that or sir a fine. So no other. Yeah, that's it. Yes, Christo, of a fine nipasu no. Yeah, mirror in ya or another doing with the nanny to move your money pen and any money. So he sleeps off after a day's hard toil, and that is what he did. So he was there sleeping, and they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? So now, I'm sure after they have struggled with trying to keep the water out of the ship and making it, as they were fishermen, most of them, and they have faced many storms at sea, so they knew how to battle. But then they realized this was beyond their strength, and they're sensing that they will lose their lives. The disciples found refuge in the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, because they believe that he only can help them. He only can save them from the calamity that they were facing. They called on him. They called on him. And then he came to their aid. But then, to think of the Lord Jesus Christ, his calm in this kind of distress and a disturbing situation, it tells us some few things about him. Even when he was in this world, in our human nature, the troubles of life were not trouble to him. Huh? The troubles of life, the commotions in this world were not able to disturb his peace. You see, look at how the Jewish leaders were always trying to catch him and kill him and all that. And many people trying to
bring him back. It didn't destroy,
cause him to be overwhelmed with life. No. Even when he was going to die on the cross of Calvary, he was not overwhelmed. When he was going to feel the pain of sin and its punishment, he was not overwhelmed. Nothing in this world overwhelmed him. He could sleep in a stormy wind. Is that not wonderful? He could sleep in a stormy wind while the disciples were overwhelmed. He tells us that he had a perfect human nature. Is it not wonderful? Adam, before he sinned, even that state, Adam didn't know any troubles of life. Adam didn't know what is called pain or sorrow, death, anything. Adam didn't know. And in that state, the Lord Jesus Christ, the human nature Jesus Christ had showed us what perfection that state was, and even beyond that, because that nature could not be subject to pain and trouble. So he was asleep, and then he was not also overwhelmed. But let's see the response that he gave to them. And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. So just a word from him, the raging sea was calm. Is it not wonderful? He woke up, not overwhelmed with the situation. Hey, what has happened? No. He just woke up and spoke to the storm, and it was still. He said, peace be still, and the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. As I told you when I started that, look at how he performed his miracles. He didn't perform them by anyone's authority. He just woke up and said, peace be still. From his own, words and action and his own power, he spoke. The air can say, yes, Christ, the Messiah, the Messiah said, I want to hear any anu. When you to me, baby, or no, I need to me, so I go for my bass. So, well, sorry, a panel. I saw Chia Bunia, and I say, and you did, and I don't know, and I be via talk, then I'm such a thing. So, he tells us the one who made the world, he is the only one who can make the agitations of this world to become. Now, go, we are saying, I'm open a bit to your man. We are still basabasa abras in whatever trouble. In Psalm 89 verse 9, look at how the Bible speaks, tells about God. Thou rulest the raging of the sea, when the waves thereof arise, thou stillest them. This was about the Lord. And who did this? The Lord Jesus Christ. Thou rulest the raging of the sea, and when the waves thereof arise, thou stillest them. And look at how it is compared to the troubles in this world. Psalm 46 verse 9. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in asunder. He burneth the chariot in fire. You know how wars come to an end. Sometimes, if you read the history of wars, sometimes they are fought. Then they will say, well, something happened, and then those who were in power or who were winning lost, and then the war has to stop. And if you look at the history of the many tyrants or many emperors in this world, how their kingdoms were crashed down, you realize that if it was in the hand of man, it wouldn't come to that. But God ruled, he set one kingdom up, he brings one down. If people begin to fight in a country, it will go on at a point, then something happens, then people are not interested to fight again. Even those who were so terrible, they begin to lay their arms. You see? People don't see that this world is in the hand of God. So that when somebody, that's why he can tell his people, when somebody is really confronting you and you are overwhelmed in situations, don't, like when somebody maybe act or do something against you, don't retaliate. Vengeance is in the hands of God. And also, he only can retaliate. And we leave it. The sort of believers, I have that assurance that God is able to keep every situation. That's why true believers don't respond with evil. Because, what is it? Well, God is in control. He who have allowed it is able to bring it down or make it not to work at all. So when you read the history of the world and the wars and the troubles in countries, at a point in time, then it stops. And then different things begin. Sometimes a country, one tyrant to be there, and for so many years, they will have a civil war, and it's just a small thing. then it overturned. Just recently, in Syria, you know what Syria has been for so many years? All of a sudden, we saw that a portion of these the rebels has overthrown the king, and now Syria is no more as it used to be. Well, people reading without the mind of God will say, well, the rebels have done well. They have money. No, God, this world, no human being can, hold this world to ransom forever. If we are human beings, at a point in time, that tyranny will be broken. That's how the world is. But people don't see that it's the hand of God. So this coming of the sea tells us, let trouble arise, let whatever happens. If you read Psalm 46, it tells us, let even nations change, the people be moved from one nation to another. True believers are still still. Should not be overwhelmed by that situation. For instance, if there should be a war in our country and everything is destroyed, if I'm a believer in Christ, no, wherever I may go, the Lord will permit me alive. I move on. It doesn't matter what happens to the world. The true believer is kept by the hand of God. That is how it is. So, yes, Christ was able to calm this storm, and it tells us of his power over everything in the world. But to me, my answer is to asotri eye din brass. So, to me, I'm a bibia and the Hebrew. Now, because we are seeing and to quani piti piti ni adi akosu wana bibia sina bibia to abja at which track. Nipa ebre no mufu zo and one is here and a quarter of it. Yango pon bo ni we are seeing or she we are seeing. So, on one in quaya or the empire she inside the on one up quite here. Or set a cost. And this any fine yen at the other baby, or no person not quite no good, but the boost of Baba. But that is how the world is like. Man will do his all that he can do, but then God and his power determines, man proposes, God disposes. That's what the Bible tells us. Okay, so when God of creation was in the vessel, it can never sink. Or no go, we ask no order ship anymore. And to me, and for sure, and soon to me, because he was the God who holds the power of the whole world. So verse 41, and they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? So the disciples were so awed by his power, and they knew him, he performed miracles, but probably this time they didn't know how he was going to calm the sea. But then at least they believed in him. But then they said, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? They asked. As I said earlier on, if you see Jesus physically, the Bible tells us, if we look at him, we will not desire him. Physically, he was like any ordinary man. He was not so handsome or so built up, whatever. He was just like any ordinary man. But the Bible, as that tells us, if we should see him physically, we will not desire him. Physically, but he was just like any ordinary man. But then his works testify his divinity. You see how God did it. Physically, he was just like any ordinary man. But then, his work is what we have to look at. And what he tells us. As in his own words, he tells us in John 14, verse 11, believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. You see, he wants us to believe in him. But these Jews were just looking at him. Are you not the son of Mary, the son of Joseph the carpenter? Yes, they saw him as an ordinary person. Are you not the son of the carpenter who lived in Nazareth? But then he tells them, believe me, if you don't believe me at all, believe in the works I do. Don't look at me. Don't look at my personal appearance. Look at the work. But the work, that will testify. In the same way, how do we know God exists? If we consider the one who created the world, they realize the one who, that God is almighty. If you consider creation and everything in it, we cannot think of this creator. That's how we think of God. Other than that, we can never think of God aright. His works and his ways show us that he is existing. We can't see him physically. That's what Jesus Christ is telling us. If anything at all, believe me for the very work that I do. So we saw that Jesus Christ, he rebuked them at so what manner, verse 40, and he said unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? Well, if they don't believe, they wouldn't follow him. But they didn't have the particular instance, they were wavering in their faith. You see, believers can mean that, well, at one point we should trust the Lord, at another point we think the Lord is not able to help us. You see, so he rebuked them for their how their faith was not strong at that time, knowing that he was there, that they should put their faith in. But at least they came to call him to come and help them, which shows their trust in him. But he rebuked them for their faith, which was wavering. They were shaking, they were so doubtful what was going to happen to them. But they knew that he can do something about it. But maybe he could steer the boat out of the sea, but to calm the sea, it was amazing to them, beyond whatever they thought of. So then he rebuked them. But then, what lessons can we further think about this passage? As we think of the journey of the disciples, the journey they embarked on the sea, and the troubles that assailed them. But see, and then you see a side way, actually, and say, you have one how many years Christo? A far, a punusunua, how we actually. Well, this reminds us of life and the troubles, and also, see, I guess I'm actually a bravo in Muni and Muahau, the boy. A bravo in Muahau. And this life in this world is like a journey. That's how it is. Life is like a journey. And life like a journey, and even the Sea of Galilee, we are told that it is noted for such sudden storms. All of a sudden then, a storm arises there. All of a sudden, you don't know how it happens. Immediately then, the wind begins to bring this kind of storms. But the same way, life in this world is full of unexpected tragedies. And also, life in this world, we are saying, That's how it tells us. In this life, there are so many tragedies. But then, if we think of it, let's even think on the other side before we come over, we think better, more of this, a part of the tragedies of life. If you look at our lives, from the early stages of our lives, how sinful habits assails us. So, if you can see, you are bravo, say, I shall say, I'm a habit of lies, envy, greed, selfishness, pride, this begin to grow in us. Well, you see a child is growing nicely, so lovely, all of a sudden he has learned to tell lies. You see, then you are surprised. All of a sudden he has learned to be greedy or selfish towards the younger siblings. You are surprised. But that is how it is. The pride begins to rise in us. That's how life, when we are growing, this thing begins to attack. Because in our heart, because of our sinful heart, we give ourselves to the, and this thing just rises in our life. And then as we grow, we become so entrenched in these attitudes. And then what does, and each of these attitudes leads us to troubles. What are the troubles that await a liar? In life, if you grow up a liar, you know, it will be difficult for you to have even a true friend. It will be difficult for anybody to trust you. It will be difficult. And when you grow selfish, who wants to be a friend of a selfish person? No. Who wants to be a friend of somebody who is so boastful? The boaster, the friend of the boaster, are those who want to get something from him. So they will mellow for him. And mostly, nobody wants to be a friend of a boaster. You see? And all those things. And besides, it is sin. And as you grow up, fleshly lusts begin to grow. Adolescent stage, youthful stage, begin to have this lustful inclinations. Then it assails us. It comes to us naturally. And these are the troubles of life, which are very bigger than the calamities we talk about, which I will talk about very soon later. These are major things that when they assails us, they never leave us. Habit of sin. When you have grown up with a particular sin, and it gets glimpse of you, how hard it is to get away from. And yet, you know, this habit is
disturbing you.
You know, this habit is so absorbing, and you can't do anything about it. When the situation happens, then there the line goes. When the situation happens, I must try to secure for myself first. Have self-sufficient. Pride and boastfulness and all that. The air conditioner is Abrabomo Amani. Yeah, the one one. Say ye say I'm for a girl. Who are cracking to get it? And Joshua said, when you better know if you can, so I can't pay. I won't. And Johnny, you're not a child, I must not pay. Who's his young? Or pay. Look, one man. No, no, maybe I'll go see anyway. And how are a two abrabo? Would the near Afina a bad hand is by? Afraid, would you want a bravo? I was like, you said, you swear a tinimono. And yeah, that is how it is. And then, yeah, you do baby, you do a teenage age, you know, and Afri, Munama Kono. I bet you. I say, and only idea, a DHC. Say, yeah, you're near the uncle Shempe, now say, I saw you. Then I've been to be here with you. This is not the way a bravo, a man who knows a sofa, one name. Ah, it's to be so you want, into me dear. Ah, I say a bravo, oh, we are seeing him, and a man of meaning, so no, you're a year few in him, and when you're meaning, you're into me good in him, say, I do want you. The habit of sin. It comes to us that we are. At our wit's end, we don't know what to do. You see? So how do we overcome sins in our lives? Everything near to me, it's born as we how do you become? How do you overcome these things? You know that the Lord Jesus Christ was able to storm the storm, the windy storm. He came to this world for the same purpose. What did he come to do? He came to help us to defeat the dominion of sin in us. Or by the number of one is to me, the one is to me in that way or so. That's his work. He only can help us. Nobody can help us. Not our parents, not ourselves, not a pastor, not a church, not anything, not morality. Nothing can save us from our sinfulness. He came for this purpose. So to do, so bet me, I'm my 2 minutes, me, the one, I shall so my abaye how, I'm my ye bravo, abaye, just a yin to me who you want. You say, you're busy, who you're busy. Yẹn bẹ sẹ yẹ tẹn awọn ni ẹhwẹ abrabọ ẹnu diẹ fún àyẹ bẹ kọ so pàṣẹ yẹ tẹn awọn ẹhwẹ abrabọ mu a ni ẹhwẹ ní dẹnyàmí asam kan ẹhun sẹ ẹhaw dẹ yẹ so pa bọni haw the life of sin. How do you overcome this? 1 John 3 verse 8 tells us he that commits sin is of the devil. Ṣé o ní ọyẹ bọni nu ọyọ ọgbọnsam for the devil sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. Ọsìn ní ọyọ bọni nu ọyọ ọgbọnsam dìá na ọgbọnsam na ọṣẹ àṣẹyẹ bọni àṣàṣẹyẹ ọsìn sáà bọni a nípa yẹ ntì nu ní ẹkú pọn ọdá nìdókòó ní yéṣu kristo èdè nípa nídì sẹ ẹnam ní so ọmọ bọni njùmá yàṣẹ nù. He only can help us destroy the habit of sin. You see, he only, we cannot. Look at the disciples, they were helpless. That also, the boat was sinking. I'm sure, as I told you, they were skilled fishermen, but then they couldn't do anything. Then they have to go to Christ and tell Master, curse not that we pray. So must we go to Christ and tell him, oh Lord, in fact, I am perishing in sin. Sin is dominating my life. I don't know what to do. Lord, help me. God wants us to come to him in this way to see that yes, we feel our sinfulness, else he will not save us. The disciples, if they had not gone to Jesus Christ, would he have come to there? He was sleeping off. He was tired. We go to God and ask him. And tell him, God knows our troubles. Jesus Christ knew that they were struggling with the storm. What the Bible tells us, knock, it shall be open. We ask. Remember, brain, you're on fire. Oh, Rade, those prayers are not necessary. Yes, we can ask this, but the most important thing is my habit of sin. That's what God wants me to ask so that he will help me, so that I will overcome it. So you see, are you disturbed with the habit of sin? Then you go to the Savior and confess to him. The disciple went to tell him, Lord, Master, care us not that we perish. Yehura. Who say would have used to go to him, Lord, my sins, because of my sins, I am perishing. in this life, that life habit of sin have brought so many troubles to me. And I know that by your word, at the day of judgment, I will stand before thee to be judged. Oh Lord, help me. May born into me, also bravo, and Casano, may pray. And now, when you must know or say, Bijna, what Timbuana, Ada, Baba Timbu, rather Buam. So that's how we go to him. He's ever willing to help us and to save us. But let's also think of what Adara said, as I said. I'm sure each one of us know how often the happiness we enjoy in this world are terminated by many, many life troubles. Well, somebody is a young person or whatever, with good strength and everything, then soon, health failure set in. Abramo and other byways is so, then, Yare Abeton. Or no one who had Yokoba, no other Yare Abeton. Some people's unemployment, that's a human, disappointment in very forms, in relationships, in dealing, all sorts of dealings, it comes to us. And some of them, it brings us a lifelong tragedy that we cannot have any remedy by ourselves. And then loss of relations also. When those that we have quote unquote confidence in are cut off from us. And now we have to live life alone. Now we have to move on in life alone. All these things come to cut off our happiness. So called in Nigeria, the whole Abrabomu. Life storms indeed bring sudden and panics, sudden fears and panics. All these things come. Health issues. Today I'm very strong, then just immediately, accident, what happened, I'm no more able to do what I used to do again. Then, anxieties begin to build up in me concerning the particular situation. For example, well, I've been laid off from my work. Well, I've been trying to apply for jobs, nobody employs me. Then, what am I going to do? I'm troubled. How am I going to cope? Am I going to have will my heart to rest that the Lord will provide for me? The unbeliever don't know that. That his God will provide for his children. No, he will be overwhelmed. Health issues. The unbeliever don't know that in hell, when we are not strong in faith, the Lord is still with us and is able to keep us joyful. He doesn't know that. But then, it happens. How are we going to cope with these difficult situations of life? Do you know what happens, why people pursue this so-called prophet and man of God in our country and other parts of the world? Because of these life issues. How to know a prophet or a man of God? Yes, because they don't have any trust in God. They cannot pray to him. They cannot really do God. They have lived their life away from him. They cannot go to him. How to know a so-called prophet, man of God, that is why people go there. They want solution to life problems. And then, whatever solution they give them, the troubles will not go. They will still have troubles in life. You see? But like these disciples, they believe that the Lord Jesus Christ can help them. They applied to him. They went to him. In terms of difficulty, they know that he cannot save them. So they went to him and they told him their trouble. You see? How do we know the power of Christ to help us? It's not that when we become Christians, all our problems will stop. No, when the troubles affect us, he can hold our hearts so that we will not be anxious. The problem of the disciples was not that merely they are losing their life. It was the anxiety. That's what Christ said. We don't have faith at all. The fear, the trauma that comes to us from life troubles. How are we going to cope with that? Abrabomu, how to ya? Emu, atetene, adibetene to me as well. It's only Christ that can help us. Those without Christ cannot. Some will turn to alcoholics. Some will turn to different habits of life to solve drugs, to solve their problem. No. Or some will turn to different habits of sin. But no, those of us who have come to Lord Jesus Christ, if we repent of sin and trust in him and believe in him, he will grant grace to the mind in times of difficulty. Even when the troubles of life is not taken away, he will hold us up and then we will not be anxious at all. We will live as a people that God upholds us. Yesterday I was telling a man on the street, do you know the woman who wrote, to God be the glory, Fanny J. Crosby. She was blind from her mother's womb. She was blind till she died. She never said God had disappointed her. But when she grew up, she came to know the Lord. And she loved the Lord. She wrote, "To God be the glory." That's the life of a Christian. A Christian, when he's in the trouble, the Lord, because he can pray to Christ, he can call on the Lord to help him. He has a helper. If you are not a Christian, where is your helper? Where can you turn to when life troubles assault you? Have you seen that in when you look at places where there are disasters, it's interesting that people begin to pray. I'm sure if you watch some of the documentaries about places where there are natural disasters, where people are agitated, everybody we are praying, everybody wants to pray. But you know, it's better to pray and ask God to be your God before the calamity comes. That is where you can have peace. The troubles will be there, but the Lord will calm your heart. You have that joy of the Spirit, as the Bible teaches us. You have a joy that does not depend on money, that does not depend on relation or connection or well-being. You have a joy that depends on Christ alone. And that joy, nobody can take it away. Nothing that you lose in this world can take that joy and peace away from your heart. Say, Say, GBB, if we are seeing a fear, sir, sir, that is the peace that a believer has. You see, sometimes people think to become a true Christian is nothing. That is what we have. In this world, the Lord will give us peace. He will really give you if you come to Him. If you really repent of your sin and trust in Him, you ask Him to save you, and you become one of His children. Jesus Christ told the disciples in John chapter 6:17, He said that, "My peace I leave with you, not the peace the world keeps." The world peace is in money, it's in wealth, it's in relations, it's in provision, it's in connection and how things move smoothly. But each one of us know that no matter how things move smoothly for us, there will be a time of troubles, either in health-wise or some calamity. This world, afflictions abound for us. But where will you turn to in times of difficulty? Not really that you have provision provided, but to become, to have that comfort so that you are not agitated. Where will you find that? If you don't have Christ, you battle with yourself, and then rather you adopt habit of sin in that state. Depression will set in. You see, if you go to Japan and other countries, if you read some of the documentaries, most of the old age, they become so depressed, they even tend themselves to be kept in prisons. You see, God, most of the people there, Christianity, people really don't care about God as we know in the Bible. And in such places, there are places called suicide forests. When you think life is troublesome for you, you go and live there, you put your camp there, then you either hang yourself, you do whatever you do to yourself, and you die away. What a tragedy. That's how even these advanced countries, and that there are places that you can go and pay, and they also inject you and you die. It's illegal, so people will travel from their countries to these places to die. But life troubles, they are fed up with life troubles. You see, but if we are in Christ, if the Lord Jesus Christ is our God, and we know Him, nothing can move us to make us, distressed. Yes, troubles will come, but our joy will always be full. Will you want this peace and joy? Then come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let Him be your God. Let Him be your master in life. Don't run your life by your own wisdom and your own things and your desires. And when troubles come, then you say, "Oh, God, help me." That is why these false prophets and man of God, deceivers, they are there. God, they know that there's troubles in life. So they set up themselves, "Well, we can help you." They will always have people to come, because people who will not trust in God run to them. And there are many. Many people who even go to church by their own believers, they will run to them. They go for "Pray for me." And all night, so call all night, whatever meeting they have, what are they? What is the purpose? You seek ourselves, the Juma, we say, no. The true believer can apply to Christ. The disciples went to Him straight away. One thing we should know, that God do not help us through other people. God help us directly through Christ. Christ is our mediator. We only go to Christ and we ask Him. That is Christ, our mediator. There's no mediator between God and man, only Jesus Christ. No man of God, no prophet is our mediator. Nobody can. He himself is a sinner. He will have to go and account his sin before God. No pastor is a mediator. No priest is a mediator. Only Jesus Christ. We go to him. If only we repent and come to him. But many people will not want to repent. And so they want to have a bypass. No, before God, there's no bypasses. But the Lord help us, that each one of us will see Jesus Christ as such, that will help him as our Savior, our Master and Lord, and we yield our life to him, and that we'll have a true comfort and peace in this life.